All right, guys. I just want to give you a little update about Pastor Richard. So he has not been here today at church. He is actually speaking at, it's kind of crazy, but he's speaking at a Unitarian church in our community. If you don't know what a Unitarian or a Universalist church is that's basically a church of people that believe in all kinds of gods. And so he got invited by one of the city officials that were here for the Night of Hope. He got invited to come to the church and actually speak on reconciliation. And so he's today talking about, I know, Jesus, talking about the gospel. There's only one God. So this is a great opportunity for the gospel to be spread today, because really that's the only way reconciliation can really happen. So we're in a series called Created to Worship, and this is the last message of that series. Next Sunday, we're beginning a new series entitled Great Expectation. And what we've been talking about, though, in this series is really what worship is all about. Why do you and I gather together on a Sunday morning? Why do we have songs that we sing, music that we play? Why do you see people lifting their hands, clapping their hands, singing, looking up? What's going on? So we're going to focus on really what worship is all about today. We're going to do that from Psalm 95. I want to read Psalm 95. And I love Psalm 95 because Psalm 95 is going to help us really talk about how do we worship, and really what worship, what it is. So let's read Psalm 95. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock," talking about Jesus, "of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." It says, "Oh, come." It's an invitation to you and I. "Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today he encourages, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day at Massa in the wilderness," talking about those Israelites in the Old Testament, "when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation, and I said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." You know, I first started coming to a church like Bethel. You have to understand, it was very different for me. I grew up going to a traditional church. In the church I grew up going to, there wasn't a lot of loud music being played. In fact, there wasn't any instruments at all except an organ or a keyboard. In the songs that we sang from a hymnal. So there wasn't any lifting of hands, of clapping hands. And so when I was at MTSU, there was a college student. This pastor kept showing up on my football team, and he kept inviting me to church. And I'd say, yeah, I'd be there, but I would never show up. But thank God he did not give up. By the fourth time, I actually came to the church. The church was meeting at a gymnasium at that time. And of course, as a first-time guest, when you first come to a church, you usually sit not in the front row, but in the back row. So here I am sitting in the back row, but this guy, he spotted me in the back row, and he didn't let me stay in the back row. He grabbed me and brought me all the way down to the front row. That's a little bit uncomfortable. So here I am in the front row, and then all of a sudden the music started up. Now again, I had never seen anything like you see here at Bethel Community Church. This is what was taking place. And the first thought that hit me is, this is a cult. I got to get out of here. Because it was weird to me. It was new to me. People were lifting their hands. People were clapping their hands. People were looking up. I'm thinking, what are they looking at? It was new. It was abnormal to me. But I don't know about you, but at that time I began to realize I needed something abnormal in my life, because normal was not working for me. Normal was bringing discouragement in my life, frustration in my life. I need something new to shake me up. And that's exactly what I found. And as I began to come, I began to give my life to Jesus. It was like a month process I went through of battling with God. Am I going to surrender all? Am I going to give my life to him? And finally, I gave my life over to Jesus, and I began to learn about this worship, this thing called worship. And it's interesting, the way I learned was by watching others. I didn't go to read a book about how to worship. I actually learned by watching others. We actually see that here in Psalm 95. In Psalm 95, as the psalmist is writing this, as you read it, it's written in a plural form. It says, come let what? Us worship. Let us kneel. Let us shout. It doesn't say, come let me kneel. Let me shout. And the reason why is this, is oftentimes I find myself difficult. I find myself, it's hard to communicate what worship is all about. It's better for me to say, hey, just come experience it. Just come and show up, and you'll find out what worship is all about. And the reason why is because worship is not something you can tell somebody about, read about. It's something that has to be experienced. Because worship is about expressing yourself to God. So as I begin to come, man, I begin to get into what was going on. At first, I notice I begin to clap my hands. My feet begin to move a little bit. Man, I begin to get into the music. Things begin to change in my life. What was happening? I begin to understand that what worship really is about. That I begin to see how I worship is I actually have to use what God has given me, my personality, the giftings that I have. But also I use my body. I lift my hands. I open up my mouth. I clap my hands. I might move my feet very slowly, but they will move. I do these things to express my appreciation and my thankfulness to God. So if that's how we do it, then why do we do that? Well, number one, I believe we do that because in worship is when things are lifted off our life. There are heavy burdens because we live this life that we carry. It's just because we're human. There's nothing wrong with us. There's just things that we go through. Therefore, when we walk in here, they are weighing us down. This is why we say, man, when you worship, lift your hands, because I am telling you, something supernatural happens. When you lift your hands, it's like those burdens are being removed. See, the way you know if you've worshiped when you've come to church is, are you wore out? Do you go home and say, whew, man, I need to sit down because I gave it all? That's what God wants. Not because you're being weighted down by the burdens. See, when you walk out, when you lift your hands, you begin to worship God, those burdens are removed. You're light, but you're wore out because you have given it all to Jesus in worship. You have laid it all down. But we struggle in this. We struggle expressing ourselves. We struggle lifting our hands. And the reason why I believe is this, is Jesus said that we worship him in spirit, get this, and in truth. And one of the reasons why, if you go back to my little story of when I first came to a church like Bethel, when the praise music was going, man, I was into it. I was clapping my hands. I wasn't lifting my hands. I was clapping my hands. I started singing the words. I'm thinking, what's going on? But I was engaged in it. But when the slow song started, I kind of shut down. And the reason why is this, is you cannot worship who you're not in relationship with. See, I wasn't born again. See, the thing about praise and worship is praise is this. Praise is thanking God for what he's done. Lord, I thank you for these new shoes on my feet. Man, I thank you for the clothes that I have. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. That's praise. But worship. Worship is thanking God for not what he's done, but who he is in our life. And I didn't have a relationship with the creator of the universe, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So therefore, when I tried to shut my eyes, and really, if you think about it, that's where the battle begins. Because whatever I've been meditating on, whatever I've been thinking about, when I shut my eyes, whatever I've been focusing on, that's what's going to pop up in my mind. You want to know what you've been thinking about, what you've been looking at? Just close your eyes, and whatever pops up first, that's it. This is why worship has to go beyond just a Sunday morning thing. So when you get in here and you close your eyes, it's not immoral images popping up in your head, men. It's not, ladies, all the struggles you're going through, the pain, the suffering. No, I've been focusing on him, so when I close my eyes, I begin to see him, his greatness, his magnificence. That's what begins to show up. This is why worship is difficult, even when we're not born again, or we've been looking at way too many things, focused on too many things, and I've got to get, but thank God that in music, or as we sing, we can get back on focus. This is why we worship. Things are changed. Things are released in our life. See, what worship does, it's like God gets his drill out. What you need to understand is the words that are on this screen, if you actually opened your Bible and read it, guess what? You would see those words in here. We're singing God's words. Worship reinforces your beliefs. It's like the Holy Spirit gets his big drill and begins to drill down on the inside of you as you're singing to God. And what's happening is those beliefs, the words on this screen, the Bible says that the word of God is what? Like a hammer that shatters a rock. And what happens in worship is the rocks of unbelief, of doubt, of uncertainty, they're beginning to get shattered in your life as you worship. See, it's kind of like this. Let me reach in my pocket. Oh, it's down there somewhere. Here we go. It's not a magic trick, but here we go. See this mint here? Every pastor should have mints in their pockets. This is a good thing that you see this today because I don't want you falling out for the wrong reason. I want to make sure that you, anyways. This mint today is going to represent, a lot of you guys have seen this before, but it's so good with this. It represents the difficult things that we go through, the pain, the suffering. And what happens, again, just because we're human, is all of our problems, what we do as we live this life is we bring them up. You see how small this is, but as this thing gets really close to my eye, man, this thing is huge, isn't it, right in front of my eye. This is all I can see. And oftentimes, this is what happens when we come to church. We're talking about God, but I can't see him. Why? Because this is right here. But here's what worship does. As I begin to express myself to God, as I begin to sing these words and talk about who he is, this thing, this pain, this suffering begins to slowly back away. And what I begin to do in light of who he is, now I see my pain. Now I see my difficult circumstance. It is small in comparison with who he is. It's because worship, I say it 100 times, I say it all the time. Worship puts us in proper perspective in which we live. God is sovereign. He's in control. He can handle whatever I'm walking through. See, again, when I lift my hands, again, it is a sign, yes, of surrender, but it also is a sign of humility, a sign of trust. I am showing God, God, I trust you. I'm humbling myself. God, I need you. I can't do this. Come into my mess. Did you know that God actually likes to come into your mess? He likes your mess. Now me, I don't like it. I stay away from it. But he loves it. And he is willing and able to dive right into your situation and get down in the mint, in the mud, in the dirt, and grind it out with you because that's the kind of God that he is. Amen? I'm going to bring up Lawrence. Lawrence, come on up here, Lawrence. Give Lawrence a big hand clap. Lawrence is a leader here at Bethel Community Church, and I wanted Lawrence, as a soldier, as a leader, just to share with you, because it's one thing to hear from me about worship. Because I'm a pastor, you're thinking, man, Lance, that's easy for you. But I wanted you to hear from Lawrence, because he has just a great testimony, really, what we're talking about, how it has changed his life. Go ahead, big man.
Good morning, Bethel. So I'm going to start out by saying that I believe that the worship part of service is the most important part of service. I'm not saying that the sermon isn't important. Obviously, it's very important. It's speaking the word into our lives. But I would say that the worship is the most important part of service. And this is, before I tell you why, I'm going to tell you what I used to think. I used to think of worship as the least important part of service. I used to think if I was late to service, then it was okay because they're doing worship. Yeah. So, you know, it's like the credits before a movie. I'm not really there for that. Uh-huh. And so I also used to think that it was not as important for my efforts, for my time. One of the reasons was because I didn't have a good singing voice. I don't have a good singing voice. So I didn't want to hurt Bethel's attendance by, you know, raising my poor voice in a crowd of people. And then also I thought that it was because, and I didn't pour all my heart into worship because I'm a soldier. I'm a warrior. I'm a leader. I'm a commander. And I thought that it's not becoming of that status that I had.
Good.
And that, you know, it would make me seem soft or even weak if I were to pour out and surrender to lift my hands and lift my voice to the one true God. And then one day, and that was me every day, Pastor Lance gave a sermon one day. And part of the sermon was, it was about worship and how important it is. And I thought it was for me because he kept looking at me the whole time. but also because the shoe fit, really. So some of the things he said were that worship is important because it isn't about you. The worship, when you are worshiping God in the worship service, you are lifting your voice, you're lifting your hands to God himself.
Yes.
It's something you are doing for God. The sermon part of it is great. It's God's word. It's what he's given us. It's poured out onto us. When we worship in service, we pour back out onto God.
Good, good Lord.
The breath that he gave us, as Dee said, and it's one of the songs we sang. And so some of the notes from the sermon that he gave from the Bible were Moses and Jesus both said that the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all your strength. And it doesn't say except in worship. That is included. That is part of it. And also the first three commandments, worship no other God before God. Do not make idols. Don't create idols. And don't take the Lord's name in vain. They're all about how we speak to and how we approach God.
Good, very
the
good.
Perspective we put in ourselves and into God. And so all the rest of the commandments are how we relate to each other, how we handle ourselves with ourselves. But the first three are all about how we relate to God and how we look and approach God. And so I was like, man, that's pretty big. You know, that's pretty important. So it is very important, obviously. And then about my singing voice, I realized, and Pastor Linus pointed out, it doesn't matter.
Good.
No one's here to listen to me sing. I'm in the crowd. If you can hear me sing, you're not singing.
Very
so,
good.
You know, like, that's one thing. But also, we get this excellent worship team up here every day, and they're singing. They're the focus point of attention, and they're pointing to God in here. So me singing didn't matter. Wasn't important. Me having a good voice didn't matter. Wasn't important. And it's about me pouring out to God and giving my all to him in that time. And then the other note about me being strong and tough, I thought that, you know, I needed to put on that persona, so I would just stand there with my hands in front or beside, maybe hold my wife's hand while she was worshiping, and I wouldn't pour it all out. And then there was an example in the Bible that I found that was a perfect example that debunked what I thought was strong and manly was David, King David.
Very good.
King David was a teenager. He was killing lions and bears, protecting his flocks. He defeated Goliath by himself with a sling, and then he was a king, and he killed his thousands. They sang songs about him and had his great exploits. A great warrior, a great leader, everything I ever wanted to be, it was him. And he was the greatest worshiper in the Bible. He danced when they were bringing the ark to Jerusalem to go to the temple. He danced so much he embarrassed his wife. I haven't done that in service yet, but maybe one day. And he also was a musician. He played
good
music. Saul had him play songs to soothe him when he was in pain. And David put musicians around the Ark of the Covenant to sing day and night and play
very
music.
Good.
He knew that was important. And then also David wrote songs. Most of the Psalms David wrote, and they are songs, and they're also prayers.
Very good.
Worshiping is a form of prayer. It's a way to connect to God. If any of us haven't feel like they haven't connected to God, or they feel disconnected in some way at times, or they haven't felt the connection in the first place, I urge you to worship.
Very good.
You will find that connection.
Good.
You will find that connection with God personally because you are pouring it out to him yourself. You'll find it corporately to the church body because we're all worshiping together.
That's right.
You're connecting to God and to all of us together when you do that. And so I just encourage you, if you felt like me or if you feel like me, worship. You pour it out to God, you will feel it. I praise God first in everything. We praise God first in service. I praise God when I first pray. The first thing I say is a praise to God. I worship God for who he
very
is,
good.
How great he is. First Peter says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. I realize that me not worshiping, me not pouring out, me not raising my hands, raising my voice, that was pride. I thought I was strong or tough or too much
good.
For that. That's not it at all. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And I received unbelievable blessing and connection to God ever since I started doing that, ever since I changed my perspective. I know you guys can relate to this. You drive home from work. You're exhausted. You're spent. You're thinking about the mint. It's right in front of your face, your problem. And also, you're thinking about yourself, how tired you are. I started doing this where I would praise God. I would think about how great God is.
Good, good.
And how he is in me and with me and for me. That's, it says in the Word. As soon as you receive Christ in your heart, he is in you and he's with you and for
you.
So good,
Lawrence.
So I started praising him for that, and the burden was lifted. I had the energy. I come home to my wife and kids. I wasn't spent and down and tired and thinking about how much I did today. I was thinking about God. I was thinking about my family. I put things in perspective and in the correct priority order. So I encourage you, praise God, worship God in all things.
Tremendous. Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you, Champ. Good job, buddy. You know, worship, as Lawrence just said, it really does require our whole being. And you see that right there in Psalm 95. It requires our mind, our will, and our emotions. You see it right there in Psalm 95 when it says that we shout to God, we sing. That's our emotions. We're expressing ourselves. He says we kneel. That's our will. We're giving up control to God. And then he goes on to say how we hear his voice. That's our mind. See, we can't say, I worship God with my mind, but I never express myself to him. Then something's off with our beliefs, with what we are saying that's happened on the inside of us. I can't just come in here and shout to God, woo, woo, God, you're great, but then go out there and my will never change. These things all have to work together. A great question to ask ourselves is, are my beliefs, are they truly changing me? Are they changing me? Are they transforming me? In Psalm 95, we see they were changing this psalmist. What he's doing is he is thinking, he's calculating, he's meditating on the excellencies of God, so much so that there is an explosion in his life. And that explosion is what you and I call worship. He's appreciating and expressing himself for what God has done in his life. I'm going to end with this. See, worship comes from an old English word that means this, worth shape. Worth shape. It means you're being shaped by the worth of something. Now, the reason why we called this series Created to Worship is because of this. All of us are worshiping someone or something. It's either God, our job, our relationship, a certain amount of money, trying to get status, something. All of us are trying to find something to shape us to give us worth. Worship, worth, shape. Because each of us are looking for our identity and we're looking for something to give us meaning and purpose in life. So what worship does, true worship to God, kind of pulls us back. Oh, no, no. Okay, God. As we focus on him, he's the one that shapes us. And he is so worth it. I think about this story that I heard about this lady that was given a piece of jewelry by her mother. Her mother passed away, and she, as she received that jewelry, she, as she looked at it, it was pretty to her, but to her, it really didn't mean very, it meant something because it was her mother, but price-wise, she didn't think it was worth very much, so she put it in her jewelry box. A couple years goes by, and she actually wakes up one day, she's like, man, I want to see what that thing's worth. So she takes this piece of jewelry to a jeweler. And she walks in, she lays it right there in front of this jeweler. He looks at it. He gets out this little eye thingy. I don't know what it's called. You know that thing they put in their eye called an eye thingy? Puts that eye thingy in, and he looks at it. And she notices as he's looking at it, the eye thingy pops out, and he backs away. He grabs and he runs to the back. Near the back, he gets out a bigger eye thingy, puts it on, and when he comes back out, she notices that his breathing is a little bit heavier. She notices that he is sweating. Something's happened to this man. What's happened is he has realized that this is a lost piece that is priceless. It's worth more than anything in his store put together. See, what's happening in that moment is this man is being shaped. He's being changed by the worth of something. It's causing him to be attentive. It's causing him to focus. There's emotion coming out of him. He's sweating. He's panting because why? He can't believe that this thing is right before him. It's valuable to him. The difference between him and her is what? He understands the worth of it as being shaped by it, and she doesn't have a clue. To him, it was just a nice, pretty piece of jewelry. So what's going to happen? He's going to go out and preach the gospel to this woman. He's going to look at her and say this, you're more stupid than you could ever believe. You had this in your possession the whole time and didn't know it. See, that's the gospel message. But the other thing is, but you're more loved, lady, than you could ever imagine. Your mama must have really loved you. And that's also the gospel message. It's a two-sided coin. See, friends, the question for you and I today is this. Is Jesus worth enough to you to worship? Is he worth enough? Is he worth enough to you to get a little bit uncomfortable? And maybe do something that you've never done before, like sing, like clap, like lift your hands. Is he worth it? He's worth it to me. He's worth it, I know, to a lot of you here today. But we all have to ask ourselves that question. Is he worth it for me to express myself to this God, to this King? Is he worth it? Is he worth it that I allow him to begin to shape my life? Because that's what's happened in worship. As you're meditating, focusing, thinking, calculating about the excellencies of God, you're being shaped. See, Jesus, you're talking about a motivation. I often think to myself, Jesus, how did you do it? Friends, Jesus, listen, if you're wondering, Pastor Ron, you'll come play for me, sir. If you're wondering, is Jesus real? Is just Jesus, is he really alive? Let me tell you something. Jesus is real. He is a real man. He is God in the flesh. And he is alive. And he loved you so much that he was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to face such pain, such agony for you and I. I often think to myself, Jesus, how did you do it? But we need to understand the motivation of Jesus is that he was willing to be shaped by the cross because there was something that was valuable, something of worth to him. You know what that was? That was you and I. We were so valuable to Jesus. We were worth so much to him that he was willing to be shaped by agony, by pain, and by suffering. That you and I could be forgiven and that you and I can walk in the purposes and the plan that God has for us. You talk about motivation. That is motivation to lift my hands and say, God, I'm thankful for you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's just do that here. Just for a moment on our own. As every eye is closed, if you're here today and you've never extended your hands, my encouragement to do right now is to lift your hands and say, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, here we are. Nobody look around, just you and I, Lord. God, we lift our hands to you. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you that I was worth enough. You valued me so much that you were willing to give your life for me. And because of that, there's an explosion happening on the inside of me where I want to manifest myself. I want to open myself. I want to express myself to you in worship. And God, I do that today by lifting my hands and just thanking you out of my mouth to say you're a great God. Lord, and today I'm willing to get a little bit uncomfortable that you may be honored and that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God a big hand clap this morning? Thank you, Lord. Guys, thank you so much. Listen, our prayer team is going to be standing down front. If you need anything, maybe it's something with this message, something in your life, something you just want us to stand in prayer. We're a church family. We believe in the power of prayer. Come down front. Let us pray for you. We'd love to see you guys. If you're a guest, thank you so much for being here. Next week, begin a new series entitled Great Expectations. It's our Christmas series. God bless you guys. Have a great week. You're dismissed and see you next Sunday.